Hey, Faith family. Welcome to the Beyond Sunday podcast at Calvary Bible, where we go beyond the Sunday sermon to explore some rabbit holes and to bring some biblical truths to the surface. We hope you enjoy today's episode. Calvary Bible Church, welcome back to another episode with Pastor Andy and myself, Beyond Sunday podcast, Calvary Bible. So, Randy, we know that you're not a fan of the jokes.
You know that.
I do know that. You've made that abundantly clear. But we know you are a fan of comedy.
I am.
Comedy. The Princess Bride being one of them.
That's funny.
Yeah.
In places.
It is funny. And so you made a point on Sunday to use the Princess Bride as an illustration.
Yeah.
And so my question for you is, how theologically astute is the Princess Bride?
Not very.
Not very. So
yeah.
What makes you a fan of it?
The concept of, you know, just the thought of mostly dead is a great concept.
That's why you're a fan of the movie?
Andre the Giant was in it.
Okay.
That's a big deal.
He was. You're a big Andre the Giant fan?
I used to be growing up, yeah.
Okay.
I saw him live.
Wrestling?
I saw him live at the Augusta Civic Center when I was a young teenager. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Amazing sight. I mean, to see someone that big is just like, oh my word.
How big is he? Do you know?
He's over 7 feet tall, but he's like
wide.
It was the size overall, not just the height, because there's a lot of tall basketball players, but I mean, to see someone of that proportion was just,
yeah,
everybody kind of just went quiet when he came out. It was like,
Yeah, big dude. So, okay. So there we go. You like the movie because of the mostly dead and Andre the Giant. And Inconceivable.
And then it comes out at if I remember correctly, it's that movie comes out in 1987, which is the year Michelle and I got married.
Okay.
So it's an important year for us.
Did you see it in
the movie
theater?
Comes out. I don't recall, but I recall reading about it. I read the book too. The book is fascinating.
Okay.
Yeah. So, but they all thought this is just not going to do anything as a movie.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden it becomes, you know, quite famous.
That's funny.
Because of its silliness, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. The humor is, it's a dry.
Yeah.
Very dry,
silly
humor
in places. Yeah.
Very silly.
There's a Apple TV has a special on about Steve Martin right now, thinking about jokes and comedy. Mm-hmm. And again, most of his early years leading into his stand-up, it was silliness.
Yeah.
It was very different from the rest of stand-up. And so some people really like it. Some people really hate it. He goes on, of course, to become famous for a lot of people. So silly.
Okay. It's a polarizing movie.
Mm-hmm.
We follow a polarizing God, Savior, Jesus. But that was last week's.
Yeah.
That was last week's content. This week was Easter weekend. We jumped out of Matthew and into Ephesians 2.
Well, actually, mostly dead is
right
this week.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Just from Sunday. Yeah.
Yeah. That's why I brought that up.
That's right.
Because you talked about it.
Yeah.
Okay.
You were listening.
Apparently not the whole time, because someone asked a question in here where you said something. We'll get to it.
Yeah.
And I don't remember you saying it.
Okay.
So some people listen better than I do.
They might have heard it on the radio.
That's probably not how it happened. You ready for this?
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm going to read verse 2. Again, we're in Ephesians 2 if you're trying to track along with us. Might as well read verse 1. Mm-hmm. It's a line. And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience. Who is the prince of the power of the air?
Probably the devil, Satan, probably.
Okay.
Yeah, probably the devil himself.
That's the answer I would have probably heard before, the prince of the power of the air. It's interesting.
The ruling demon.
Yeah. You know? Wonder why Paul gives him that title or uses that language rather than just, you know, a little more straight to the point.
Well, I mean, one connection is that the title of a prince is That is someone who does have authority. Mm-hmm. They're in a kingdom. Mm-hmm. And so when you get to the end of our text, we have language again of ruling, royalty, a throne, all of that being a part of seated with him. Mm-hmm. So that enthronement language, I mean, it's possible that that's the reason for it. It's also possible that in the ancient Near Eastern world, that type of language is prominent. Mm-hmm. That's the print side of it. Mm-hmm. The air part, I mean, again, in the ancient Near Eastern world, everyone knew that atmosphere around the earth was the abode of
the gods, the spirits.
Yeah.
And prince has authority, but not ultimate authority.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, good. All right. Yeah. So you'd say that would be Satan he's referring to there. And then who then are the sons of disobedience?
Because it's that is now at work. Mm-hmm. So that's first century, you know, Paul addressing a church full, you know, that city church in Ephesus. So that would be in the first century would be the population that is non-Christian. I did talk about the family, that family designation, sons of. These mm-hmm. are people characterized by their disobedience to God. And so, of course, when you have this starting dead in trespasses and sins, so the trespasses and sins are all the ways in which disobedience occurs mm-hmm. from verse 1. You can carry that down to the end of verse 2. Yeah. And then you just want to know that that's the same, whether it's in the first century or the 21st century, you have non-Christian. It's the title given to non-Christians.
Gotcha. Yeah. And characterized by is helpful there. You're a son of your father. I'm mm-hmm. a son of my father. Mm-hmm. Our characteristics are mm-hmm. similar to mm-hmm. them. And in the same way, to be a son of disobedience would be someone could pick you out of a crowd as being, you're related to mm-hmm. that,
yeah,
to that father.
Yeah.
So then my last question there with verse 2. So the word following is used twice, right? Following the prince of the power of the air and following the course of this world. So as followers now of Jesus, are we still prone to follow the course of this world, the prince of the power of the air? Mm. And if so, what are some examples that you would give of how we do that?
Yeah, I think one of the things we talked about on Sunday was that this section, verses 1 to 3, they do not only describe our pre-Christian condition, status, mm-hmm. lifestyle, but also they describe the challenges that we're facing now. And so okay. I was thinking about this in light of in my own life. And my own struggles spiritually. So you have the trespasses and sins in verse 1. So if you're thinking about beyond Sunday, living the Christian life, start with what are the prominent, prevalent sins that you and I commit. But then you'll notice that those sins are taking their lead from the world and from the devil. So when you get into 3, you see the flesh is there as well. So I didn't do a great job with that on Sunday, and I may not have mentioned it at all, but you'll notice all three of those, the world, the flesh, and the devil, which come up elsewhere in Scripture as mm-hmm. that sort of that triumvirate of, the enemies, the fight within, the fight without. So for me, the leadership from the world, the leadership from the devil, and when I look at my sinful tendencies, then I can see the resemblance. In other words, what I'm mm-hmm. fighting against, you know, praying this morning really early, Lord, you know, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. This, our sins are following the lifestyle of this world, the thinking, the acting of our world. So, but the question that you gave at the end was probably not. But
well, no. What are some examples of how we, how we do that? How do we follow?
Oh my!
Satan
yeah,
in the
yeah.
world
so and... yeah. So the mindset in this world, which is so, let's use the materialistic one. Let's start with that, just mm-hmm. because it's stuff that I've been reading this week. I read one article this week about a designer, some type of clothing store. It's a clothing store for women, but they only sell a certain kind of clothing mm-hmm. to fit a certain type of woman.
Okay.
Well, there's all kinds of uproar about should they do that, especially in a time when it should be all inclusive. Mm-hmm. Old Navy's run into trouble. I don't know if you followed any of this. Like Old Navy's run into trouble with their stock because of they're trying to just cater to everyone. And mm-hmm. so they've got all kinds of this size and all kinds of this size, but they got nothing on the shelf for the average person because they've tried to do everybody.
Yeah.
But what struck me from the article wasn't interested in the clothing. I wasn't interested in the fashion. What I was interested in was the young girls saying, you know, I want to wear this brand because people respect me for wearing that brand, if I have that brand on.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I remember this going way back to when I was in college and in grad school, when if you wore a particular sneaker,
mm-hmm.
it was a status symbol.
Mm-hmm.
So young children back then, especially when I was ministering in the projects, I was just so fascinated by their mindset being so enthralled by a brand and what it did for their image.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that, and that's not a racial thing at all. That's across the board. Like it was happening in yesterday's paper or the weekend. I forget which day it was, either Monday or the weekend paper, but I thought, man, it crosses all lines. So there's an example, take materialism or take status and image. That's a world led, mm-hmm. Satan led mindset.
Yeah.
So if I get caught up in that and go, wow, you know, the church we pastor, you know, the church that we're involved in, it's getting, you know, it's got a great reputation, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, who cares?
Right.
We want God to have a good reputation. But you can see how easy it is to get caught up in pride,
mm-hmm.
materialism, lust. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can go on and on and on. And those are worldly, devilish type of things. So,
yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, no, that's good. And if that's the kind of thing that characterizes us, you know, we would be a son or a daughter of whatever that disobedient thing is.
Yeah.
Maybe the brand is, let's just say, Nike, right? Or
yeah.
whatever that brand
sure.
that
yeah.
gives us validation.
Yeah.
If someone says, that's that person,
yeah.
their identity or whatever is yeah. wrapped up in that, they're a son or a daughter of whatever that fill in the blank is, and then that might be a sign that you're following the way of the world.
Yeah, in our mindset, you know, from into verse 3, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath. Well, that whole verse 3 is saying that we were living amongst those people in our non-Christian days. And we're carrying out, and I forget how some of the other translations did that. It's not carrying out in the sense of doing the action.
Mm-hmm.
You are putting into practice these desires. And the desires of the body and mind is this package that is, once again, following the course of, you know, so mm-hmm. again, the world of flesh and the devil, all of them, driving our pre-Christian existence. But as the person is pointing out, that's part of our life now.
Yeah, so, right. That was the base of the question there. Is that something that once you're a follower of Christ, that these are no longer ways that we follow? Or is that still a struggle? And it's a tension.
It is.
You know, we may be on a path following Jesus.
Yeah.
There's always a temptation to veer off
or use these terms. There's always, I would say for me every day, a misstep or I lose my footing. Some of these original terms for mm-hmm. trespasses and sins, you know, you're walking in which you once walked. So you're walking with Christ, to use your mm-hmm. statement a moment, walking with Christ, following Christ, but then I lose my footing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a spiritual, fall, or a misdirection that is now, instead of following Christ, I'm following the world. And so, again, for you and I, beyond Sunday, the Christian life is being lived with all of these temptations. So that part of us is still resident and still active and still powerful, except that the Spirit of God kicks in, which we'll get to hopefully in a minute, whether the question's there or not. I do want to address just one thing, but
yeah. Well, you alluded to already, we don't want to show ourselves off, right? We want to show God off, which reminds me of an old hip hop song by The Fanatic.
There you go.
A little known hip hop artist.
Not the Philly.
He's out of Philly, but not
the Philly Fanatic.
No, he is not the Philly Fanatic. No. I don't know if that guy's a believer or not.
I hope so.
Me too. But anyway, he's got a song titled Show 'Em Off. And but anyway, I was talking with Andrea Melhorn on Sunday, who works for a lady who sells quilt jackets.
Yeah, I've seen them.
They sell. Okay, I did see a picture of them. And apparently they sell for a lot of money, you know. And
amazing.
Yeah, right. But she said some of the people that wear them, she said they buy them to say through their clothing, look at me.
Yeah.
Right. And that's just interesting.
Yeah.
And I don't want to cast a stone or, you know, pull the speck out of their eye and not see what's in my own eye. Cause I don't wear those quilt jackets, you know,
but you
quarter zips and cardigans, you know, that's my thing.
Yeah.
But anyway, to use the lane of materialism that you were headed down, rather than try and show ourselves off, verse 7, right? The ultimate goal there is so that the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus are shown off, right?
Look how kind he has been to me.
Yeah. So that's our goal.
Yeah.
All right. Moving on to another question.
Sure.
This is where the person was listening better than me.
All right.
Okay. So you used the term salvation experience.
I did.
I can't say I've heard that term. I'm curious how you would define it.
Sometimes that word is, sometimes that word extends the single term salvation in a way that I kind of want us to think. So the word salvation by itself means a lot. But what I'm trying to get at is not only the past, but also the present walk of faith, being, in this case, to use this language, salvation is actually framed in terms of a resurrection and an enthronement.
Okay.
That's an experience. That's something that you encounter. So that's kind of the reason why a word like that every once in a while maybe is appropriate to extend one's thinking about salvation. And so that it's not just something you know.
Okay.
Something like that, maybe too.
And I've heard that term before, but it's always been in the context of, tell me about your salvation experience, like the moment when you came to faith in Christ.
Yeah.
But you're saying, while that would be part of it,
yes,
don't limit that to just something that has happened that you experienced and knew about,
but that's ongoing. Right. I am experiencing new life today.
Resurrection
life. In form. In some forms.
Continuing to be made new.
Yeah.
How important is it for us to be reminded of our salvation then, right? When it did happen, like to live in that truth?
I'm not a huge fan of trying to remember what happened, partly because I was saved really, really young. So it would be better for someone like a Danny Pierce or, you know, a Lou Knapp, some of these guys that were saved later in life, they're probably the ones that go back to that point in that moment and they see a radical change. So for me, and this is personal, for me, there's not much to see. I do remember my baptism, but I was 10. So
the gospel still, the truth is still important.
But I'm more interested in waking up in the morning like this morning, and what is the first thing on my mind this morning? That's what I'm interested in. That is God on my mind. Do I have peace in my heart when I get up? Can I say something to God first thing? Mm-hmm. That's more what I'm thinking about, is not that I made a profession of faith when I was whenever, but I know God. I love God, even though I don't always act like he's my priority or my dominant love. I have been immersed in this book. I finished it yesterday. It was just fascinating about Augustine's understanding of the cure of souls, which you and I are a part of all the time. So this was Augustine's practice of maturing his believers, his people in church, because he's a bishop, he's a pastor, he's a preacher, and we've got like over 1,000 of his sermons. So just fascinated reading Augustine from this author again, where Augustine boils everything down to, is my love in the right place? What it does for me is, can I get up in the morning and say, God, I love you more than I love anything else that's in this world that's temporary? I was just reading that yesterday toward the end of this book. Augustine challenging his listeners to love God supremely, because everything else is going to pass away. And does it make sense logically for me to pour my affections into something that's going to be taken away from me?
No.
So I would much rather think in terms of my life and my love for God now than I would to look back on a conversion experience. Not to make light of the conversion experience. Without that, you have no faith. So
I don't know if that
helps.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, it answers the question. And then finally, being seated at the right hand of God.
Yeah.
And you made a point to highlight that. Where is that? Verse 6.
Yeah.
And he raised us up with him and seated us with him.
Yeah.
The question is, that seems like something that would happen, like, okay, we're seated when this life is over.
I know.
Jesus was seated, but positionally that's happening according to this verse.
Yeah.
Now.
Yeah. And who's ever, either you or somebody else, that's a great observation.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a permanent place.
Yeah, which is current,
right,
not
now.
Future.
Yeah, because all of these, there's three of these together with, or with, made us alive together with in verse 5, and then two in verse 6, raised up and seated with. So you have those three things that have happened to us. The grammar in some places is pretty specific too. I mean, you can look at some of that. You would remember from some of your Greek studies. It's pretty cool to It's probably cool to look at that a little bit. But anyway, yes. Yeah, those are, you know, we are, as I was trying to say on Sunday, think about, we're living this week, we're living it down here, but we are also up there. And I don't know how else to explain it.
Yeah.
But it's like simultaneous status and simultaneous geographical location. That doesn't even sound right.
Yeah.
I don't know what to think of that.
I don't either.
But I can tell you that, you know, for me today and for you this week, your ability to reaffirm your faith and being made alive and being raised up and being seated with is a key to victory. It is part of it, because the whole point of the seated there is our Savior is enthroned.
Yeah.
In power, and so are we. But that fight still goes on down here.
Sure.
So that battle has to take place in my body and mind, to go back to one of these keys in this. God has been very merciful to make all of this new life happen, but in my body and in my mind, the fight continues every day. And so beyond Sunday, that's what we have, this battle for faith. Can we live this exalted position where we love God supremely?
Good. Okay. I'm out.
That's
it. Did you have anything else to add?
No, that's good. That's good.
You know, I'll close with the only thing that I can think of. You're talking about these two geographical locations.
Yeah.
Is that it's inconceivable.
That was excellent.
Thank you.
I got it.
There we go.
I got that one.
All right. We love you guys.
I don't think it means what you think it means. according to this text.
Hey, if you have questions for the podcast, email them into podcast@cbcmj.com. We do love hearing from you and appreciate the questions. So
they can just send them in.
Yeah, just send them in.
Wow.
Email
it. That sounds so easy.
At podcast@cbcmj.com, if I didn't say it already.
So that is the location. Wow.
Yeah, there you go. Okay.
I did not know that.
See you guys on Sunday. Thanks again for joining us on today's episode. And remember, our Sunday sermons are meant to lead us to a life of worship beyond Sunday.